personal coach and trusted attorney, Andrew Leaf, who will help you get started in building your real estate empire. Grow your self-confidence, find your grit, and get the skills needed to dominate the real estate world. This is Real Estate Investing with Andrew Leib.
Welcome back to the Leibcast. We were just talking about getting your money from PSEG and how to eliminate the smells in your refrigerator. Thank you, Queen Yenta Mom. Charcoal, that's the key. That's the way to do it. But more importantly, I am having problems with the CDC these days, Lauren.
Yeah.
I am. I'm having problems with the CDC. And not like Cuomo. Cuomo and the CDC are having all these fights. I don't know if everyone sees this because they have guidance about when you should get testing or you shouldn't get testing. I'm getting tested if I have any exposure, but that's a whole nother story for a whole nother day. I'm into this whole living thing. So I don't want to die. And if I have exposure, why not get tested? I don't know. I could do the nose swab, but that's not my issue at all. My issue is that they're now telling the CDC's warning not to argue with anti-maskers. That's what they're saying. If someone's not wearing a mask, don't argue them. I love a good argument. I'm a litigator. I look for arguments.
Like, No. Some people are too violent.
And so they're telling you not allowed to argue. Like, that's like morally compromised. I would argue with you if you were wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. That's how you know you're a good lawyer. I just pick an argument. Like, why wouldn't you want to start with someone? I love these people that troll people online and they just pick fights. I read this stuff on the Facebook all the time. It's the best. But what the CDC is now saying is if you have someone that's not wearing a mask and it bothers you, walk away from them. An epiphany. Whoa. Did you hear that epiphany? You don't need to engage. I saw this great meme that was like, you only have so much time left in your life. Why don't you waste it arguing with people you don't know?
Great.
Is that a great idea? No, seriously though, like I'm with the CDC on this one. And it's not just because they're saying that it's going to avoid violence. And they're saying that it's the better way for stores not to argue with people. But I'm going to give you a suggestion. Unless something benefits you, why argue? Instead, go to the beach. It's much easier. Instead, have a great sandwich. And I already told you how to get the smell out of your refrigerator. And I got to tell you, this mask thing, I think, is going to be a thing of the past. I'm going to tell you why. A lot of people, you know what they say? I'm so over it.
Yeah, there's nothing to be over yet, everybody.
There is, Lauren. You know why? Because this week the FDA authorized Abbott to give a $5 COVID test. I'm with Abbott.
Amazing and the best news that I've heard in a really long time. It's not the $5 that's amazing. It's that it's a 15-minute test.
So I think Lauren's upset because you can't get the $5 foot long if you're spending it on the Abbott. But $5 foot long. But after Jared, do you really want the $5? I don't know. He used to go $5. I don't even want to go there.
Well, you know where I would rather go than Subway? Have you tried Pita Pit? They opened one in Hopog, and it's in my heart because I went to college at the University of Michigan, and it was in Ann Arbor. So if you haven't tried Pita Pit in Hopog, it's much better for your $5.
I'm a huge fan, and they have this sriracha sauce there. It's on fire. So anyway, back to Abbott. They created this test that's 15 minutes, and the best part is that it links. I don't know if you saw this. It links to a cell phone and you can get a pass. And you might be going, well, if it's a 15-minute test, oh, by the way, you don't have to go to a lab. That's the key here because everyone's waiting on the lab.
Yeah, it's like a pregnancy test.
Yeah, so here's the thing. It's 97.1% accurate for positive infections and 98.5% for negative. And what they're doing is they're giving you a digital health pass. If you pass it, I'm thinking this is the way the world's going to open. If you go back to our prior segments, I don't remember when we said it, but I've been saying since the beginning, the key is that if we can do like they do in the city, you know, when you go into Manhattan, you go to a building and they say, can I see your ID? And they don't let you up till they see the ID. If we can have a system in the future where Abbott tests are being administered in all these big properties, in restaurants, in schools, if they're in schools, the schools, we don't have to pick whether we're doing remote or not. If every kid has to take this test and
teacher and everybody walking into the building, then they don't have to wear masks. If it's 98.5% correct for negative tests, I think those odds are really, really good.
And it's similar to the pregnancy test, Lauren, which is kind of interesting, too, is that it's going to be similar to how a pregnancy test works. Although I don't know if you know, when you get the pregnancy test, you're like, is that two lines? Is that two lines?
Well,
is that
also the pregnancy test, you pee on a stick, so this is not a pee test.
Oh, I thought you were supposed to pee on it.
No, this is not.
No, this one is a nostril test. They have to get some, right, Lauren?
Yeah, but I'm okay with that.
A nasal swab. So I think this is the future, and I think that we need to be thinking about this, but with good comes bad. With good comes bad. You know where the bad is? The bad is that we've been having moratorium after moratorium after moratorium after moratorium with evictions. And that's been bad. And now, if they can solve this corona thing, maybe. So here's the argument. They're saying we need the eviction moratorium because otherwise we're going to have homelessness everywhere. And you don't want homelessness, as we talked about last week, in the midst of a pandemic, because that's how the pandemic spreads. So what they're now saying, according to Bloomberg, is 30 million people are at risk of being evicted in the coming months. And if you don't know, the Office of Court Administration has a stay on evictions till September 20th. And they keep extending it. First, just to rewind, the federal government had on Fannie and Freddie-backed mortgages, they had a moratorium. Then the governor, Andrew Cuomo, on executive orders, he had moratoriums. Now the Office of Court Administration has moratoriums, and they control whether the judges are going to proceed. But what we know is at some point these moratoriums are going to be over. And I think it's going to be well after the fall, maybe after the winter, because after all, what we have is we have a second wave potentially coming because we have everyone outdoors right now in New York. But when they go indoors, what we find is the air conditioning becomes a problem, spreading and people being in the same space. I don't know. I'm not a scientist on this, but we see in states where there's a lot of people indoors, that's where the problem becomes. But maybe the Abbott can solve this, and maybe that's the end of the moratorium. But what is the story? The story is a fewfold. Number one, if there's continual moratoriums, what is the landlord to do? Well, I just wrote an article in Dan's Papers, Lauren, in Behind the Hedges, and it's going to be published, I think, probably now. And what this article explains is that there's a court case that came out in the Southern District of New York. That's a federal court. And the judge went at length, and he said, a lease is a contract. That's a very important statement. He said, a lot of people forget that a lease is a contract, and they think you have to do an eviction proceeding when a tenant doesn't pay. But he said, why don't you just sue the tenant in Supreme Court for the money they owe you? And after you sue them for the money they owe you, you get a judgment. And a lot of tenants say, well, I don't have any money. Well, a judgment is enforceable for 20 years in the state of New York. With that judgment, it automatically attaches to the house where the tenant lives. Their house, their real estate. They don't even have to live there. Any real estate in the county where the judgment is issued, there's a lien that attaches. You could actually attach the lien in other counties throughout the state, and you could domesticate into other states, depending on their laws, by simple filings. If you do that, they can't refinance, they can't sell without paying you your judgment. Oh, by the way, the whole time you're waiting is 9% statutory interest. Maybe you're not willing to wait. Did you know you can foreclose on someone's real estate based on that lien? You could bring your own foreclosure proceeding. Maybe you're not that cruel. Did you know that you can garnish part of their wages? Did you know that you can restrain their bank account? Did you know you can take money out of their bank account? That's called levying. Did you know that you can have the sheriff execute and go sell their personal property? Like at the end of the day, I get these calls all the time. They go, I'm a landlord. I hear I can't evict. What am I supposed to do? Or they're not letting me into the unit. The tenant's not letting me in. What am I supposed to do? Or the tenant's doing this wrong or that wrong or this and that. What should I do? Simple answer, sue them. If you sue them, people go, but I don't want to sue them. I don't want all that money. Well, when someone's on the hook for 9% statutory interest and they're on the hook for $50,000, $100,000, if this is the Hamptons, $300,000, and you say to them, listen, I'm willing to settle now. I want access. I want you to leave. I want you to do this. Yeah, you can't evict them, but they can stipulate, meaning agree, to surrender the property and leave on their own. So let's wrap it all up. Until these moratoriums are over, which I don't know when they're going to end. Until this Abbott news came out about this $5, 15-minute test, I was thinking we're going into next spring.
Well, what's so great about that is that I read that they're producing 50 million tests per month by October. That's a lot of tests.
So maybe the moratorium is going to end quicker. But until the moratorium ends, what should you do? You should bring them to Supreme Court. If it's a $15,000 or over, in the city it's $25,000 or over. But If it's 15 under, you go to district court. And you should sue them and say, you have a lease, which is a contract. You're violating a lease, and I'm suing you for a lot of money. And then how do you get someone's attention when they're not listening to you? Give them exposure. I was just on the phone with this gentleman. I was having a great conversation. And everything Lauren and I do goes down to strategic negotiating. We go into everything we do goes to this basic principle. How do you find your counterpart's exposure and leverage it? And how do you find your own exposure and mitigate it? That's kind of how business works, right, Lauren? So what you need to do is you need to increase the tenant's exposure by increasing their exposure and stepping on their head when it's on the curb by American History X reference. If you do that, they'll suddenly say, oh, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I'll do what you want. So what we got is we have a chance that the schools are going to open up. And we've been doing a lot of segments on schools. How are the – yes, they're opening now. I know. But a lot of them are doing hybrid models half a week. A lot of them are expecting to close. But Abbott is the solution. Please, Abbott, be the solution. And by the way, these moratoriums may end. We have to do two things. I guess this is the moral that I'm trying to say, Lauren. Number one, if you're in real estate, if you're in business, you have to live in the moment. You have to know what your rights are now, and your right now is to sue in Supreme Court as a breach of contract on the lease. But then you also have to know how the world's moving into the future, and you have to project worst case and best case, and that's how you make your movements when you're a business person. People that just hope, and they say, I don't know, I'm going to wait. Well, you're going to wait to go bankrupt, and I don't want to do that. So together, when you listen to us, and we're talking real estate investing with Andrew Lieb, we're going to show you the best move to do today and the best move to do tomorrow. Stay with us and we'll tell you more. We'll be right back after the commercial.
Have you ever dreamed of owning a rental property, flipping a home, opening a successful business? This is Real Estate Investing with Andrew Lieb.